The following is an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. Welcome to the High School Football Roundup Podcast, an inside listen on high school football in Southwest Georgia, only on the Southwest Georgia Network. Back with another edition of the High School Football Roundup Podcast here on the Southwest Georgia Network. I'm Walter Johnson, and this will be the first of what will hopefully be many monthly episodes during this off season of 2022, and the first episode of this calendar year. So, and then hard to believe it's been over 2 months, about close to 2.5 months since the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes and Brooks County Trojans won their respective state titles in Class C, Double A, and Single A public, and seeing Brooks County dethroned two-time defending state champion Irwin County on the night of Thursday, December 10th of 2021, and then to win the Class Single A public state title, their first championship in since way back in 1994, and then speaking of way back, and then the following day on Friday, December 11th of 2021, the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes rolled past the Thomasville Bulldogs to win the Class AA crown. And the win over Thomasville was Fitzgerald's first state title since way back in 1948. And if you want to talk about way back, and that was then, this is now, and then, here we are in 2022. And then the first of many months, like I said, the first of many monthly episodes of the High School Football on the Podcast, or HSFR. And try to post at least one, maybe two episodes per month, depending on how the news cycle is turning as it is, and try to drop each episode by, say, no later than the last Friday, had that posted by no later than the last Friday of every month. And even as I'm talking about this, and then the Georgia High School Association's playoffs or tournament and for high school basketball is already underway. And remember to follow the Southwest Georgia Network on Twitter at SWJ Network for all things high school football, basketball, other sports. And other items of interest here in Southwest Georgia. Again, the Southwest Georgia Network is on Twitter at SWGA Network. So, with that being said, and here's what I'm going to talk about on this episode and this installment. Obviously, talk about recruiting. And then, hard to believe exactly it's been just over 3 weeks as this episode's being recorded that National Signing Day was held, ironically, on Groundhog Day, Wednesday, February 2nd. And also talk about reclassification. A quick look at the new regions that that'll be set up for the 2022-23 and 2023-24 academic years, and then a brief breakdown on how that could turn out, and then the impact on the teams here and on the schools within the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area. And lastly, talk about a few coaching changes. So, not much time to waste, not much more time to waste, so it's time to get started. And again, starting with the recruiting. And as mentioned just about a minute ago, and National Signing Day was on Groundhog Day, Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. And then and the Albany Herald reported on that day that the Lee County Trojans class of 2022 football signing list grew to a dozen or 12 players. And and Lee County had a lot of Lee County just had a lot of players. I mean, Lee County, under head coach Gene Fabrizio, has had a lot of players move on to play college football, and many of those players have ended up playing big time college football in the FBS, and mainly at the Power Five conference schools, and then see him back in December. During the early signing period, safeties Quavion Carter and Malcolm Jones, signed with Michigan State, and offensive lineman Kayshawn Sapp, signed with Florida State, and obviously the Seminoles program, and really and truly need some serious help right now. And tied in Tyrus Washington, and signed with Arkansas, and finally had Jerron Willis signed with Ole Miss. So then as far as the players that they'll be playing, and as far as the players that sign on February 2nd or 02/02/2022 or 02/02/2022. For those people that want to pronounce it that way. And then, seven more players that signed on the dotted line. And then, Savannah State's signed. And say Division II Savannah State out of the SIAC in the same conference as Albany State. Signed three Lee County seniors, linebacker Jawan Bailey, fullback and defensive lineman Debo Roberts, and wide receiver Willie Williams. And then another SIAC school, although in some more recent team that joined the into Division II level, as well as the SIC, Allen University out of Columbia, South Carolina. And landed Malik Bratkins, a defensive lineman, as well as running back RJ Williams and offensive lineman Jacob Brim signed with NCAA Division III LaGrange College in LaGrange, Georgia. And running back Julius McClellan Jr. signed with Georgia Military College, or just a junior college, not to be confused with a preparatory school or a private high school up in Milledgeville, Georgia. And those players won 49 games over 4 years, and then as well as four region championships, and also. And another thing, and they never lost a single region game. Also played in two state championship games, won one state title. And obviously, Lee County's success over the last 5 years, dating back to the start of the 2017 season, when they won back-to-back, won the first of back-to-back state titles in 2017. And then again in 2018. And then, I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, hard to top. And then, and seeing Lee County, and, so obviously Lee County's got the problem, and head coach Dean Fabrizio seems like, and, he's always, he's almost always, and, probably the last, just, 5-6 years. I mean, head coach Dean Fabrizio managed to put together one of the toughest schedules in all of high school football. And then, so that 2022 season will start and after that scrimmage on August 12th against Carver Columbus, whom Lee County beat in the Habsburg Classic at Albany State University Coliseum last year, 22-15, in Lee County and Carver will square off at Trojan Field in Leesburg for a scrimmage. And then the regular season opens for the Trojans at Warner Robins in the two-time back-to-back defending state champions in Class 5A, and more reclassification later in this podcast. And then on August 19th, and then August 26th, and the Trojans play host to Hapeville Charter, the Metro Atlanta area, first to 5 straight home games for the Trojans, and then September 2nd, hosting Lithia Springs, and then home against the Colquitt County Packers on September 9th, and home against North Miami Beach. And on September 16th, the final non-region contest. And then after a bye week, the Open Region 1-6A play at home against the Houston County Bears. And then the Veterans Warhawks. And on the road, October 7th. And then back in Middle Georgia to face north side of Warner Robins on October 21st, and that's after that second bye week. And then home against the Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets on the 28th of October. And then regular season wraps up in Tifton, taking on the Tift County Blue Devils in a more reclassification a little bit later. And then continuing with the recruiting, and we continue with the national. So it'll be interesting to see if Lee County can continue its winning ways. And going into 2022, and produce another winning senior class. Going to come 2023, and then there's also another look at some of the other players and that have signed elsewhere, other players elsewhere, I should say, that inked scholarships to various colleges and universities across the nation on this National Signing Day. And this is from WALB, and WALB.com here in Albany, Georgia. And then running back and linebacker Gary Davis signed with Savannah State. And Cedric Wilson, another Carol Surmaker, will play way up north at Chestnut Hill College in Pennsylvania. I'm thinking that's a junior college. And or at least some kind of small school that I've never heard of. in Colquitt County. And a three-star wide receiver, Ontavious Carolina, spelled C-A-R-O-L-I-N-A, Carolina, as in North or South Carolina. Will play at the sign with Bethune-Cookman University and down in Florida, Daytona Beach, Florida. And defensive lineman Marcus Pryor, also going FCS, D1 FCS at Gardner Webb University in North Carolina. And offensive lineman Isaiah Palmore playing at Shaw University in North Carolina. And three other Packers that I mentioned will play at Point University. That's an NAIA school based out of West Point, Georgia. And three more going to Georgia Military Junior College in Milledgeville. And Darty Trojans and Robbie Wallace playing at South Carolina State University in the defending MEAC and HBCU National Champions. And Point University signed Kimari Stubbs and also tackle Quantavious Jenkins playing at NCAA Division II Fort Valley State. Albany State University's longtime rival up in Middle Georgia. Going to Bethune-Cookman. And he settles to another NCAA Division II school, Benedict College, Columbia, South Carolina, also could be in the SIC. And finally, Elijah West. And making the long trip from Albany, Georgia, to Macomb, Illinois, playing for the Leathernecks of Western Illinois University. And I'm going to keep on going. And then, how about Lowndes and Chase Belcher? We'll head out west, signing with the Northern Arizona University, the Lumberjacks out of the Big Sky Conference. And Tyler Belcher will stay in Georgia, playing at Albany State. And Chris Thomas, that's Chris with a K, spelled K-H-R-I-S, playing at Tennessee Tech University in the Ohio Valley Conference. And Peyton Gunn will stay at home. We'll play at NCAA Division II, Valdosta State University. And the Blazers have a new head coach in Jermaine Jackson. And who replaces Gary Goff. And Gary Goff, and just a couple of days after BSU fell to Ferris State in the NCAA Division II National Championship game back in December. This is on December 18th, less than a week before Christmas. The week before Christmas. And after a couple of days after BSU lost to Ferris State in the Division II title game, Goff resigned to take the head coaching job at another FCS pro school, McNeese State University, in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And Peyton Gunn will play under first-year head coach Jermaine Jackson. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And finishing things up quickly at Monroe High School here in Albany. And Dorian Griffin, a running back, will play at Gordon State College. That's a JUCO. And I'm not sure if they officially have a football program or not. And Joshua Dowell will end up playing at Point University. And Brandon McGill, assigned with Shorter College, another Gulf South Conference school, like Valdosta State University, Shorter University's located in Rome, Georgia, in the northwest corner of the state. And see how about the Valdosta Wildcats. Camera Bailey and Aaron Emman will be playing at Reinhardt College, another NAIA school up in North Georgia. And William Collier here will play at Chattanooga, University of Chattanooga, up in Tennessee. And Jacquarius McGowan will also go to the state of Tennessee, play for Tennessee Tech. And then Jalen Yerby and Jalen Berrien will play for the University of the Cumberlands up in Kentucky. And that's another NAIA school. And I see in Valwood, GISA school, seeing Todd Sanders signing with Western Illinois University. So another Georgia player that decided to go way up in north to play for the Leathernecks at Western Illinois University and the Missouri Valley Conference, Football Conference. Thomasville, and for the Thomasville Bulldogs, last year's Class AA state runners-up, and Ty Anderson signing with Gardner-Webb University, Jimmy Beaudry going to Chattanooga, Digimon Wheeler playing for the Western University, Kentucky Hilltoppers, and that's just rolled all over Appalachian State in the Boca Raton Bowl down in Florida this past bowl season. And Terende Hayes playing with another one of Valdosta State's rivals, playing for the University of West Georgia Wolves, Malik Harper and Jay Cody. And then play for the LaGrange College Panthers, Shannon White, their quarterback signed with Georgia Military College, Tiff County, Blue Devils. Linebacker Bubba Ellis will go down the road. We'll go 40 miles west from Tifton here to Albany and sit up for the Albany State University Golden Rams and head coach Gabe Gardenia. In Mitchell County, and as far as the Mitchell County Eagles, and then Jamez Thompson will sign with Fort Valley State. You know, Roderick Fowler will be playing for Columbus State University, and a school institution that doesn't have an official varsity program but has a club program instead. Okay, I think that's going to do it as far as the signings. So a lot of players playing for a wide variety of schools. I mean, all over the country. From as far away as Pennsylvania, from as far northeast as say Pennsylvania, as far west as Arizona. And now, let's go ahead and tackle some reclassification. Tackle the reclassification thing. So, talking about the new regions, and then talk about which schools tried to stay where they were, say in 2020, 2021, only to be denied. And we'll start with Thomas County Central Yellow Jackets. And then in Thomas County Central, and in Georgia high schools, this is before even going there. And the full state executive committee met at the Georgia High School Association office. Actually, not there, but at the Thompson, Upson County Civic Center in Thomaston, Georgia, on January 10th, 2022, Monday, January 10th, 2022. And ironically, and ironically, and that was the night the University of Georgia when it all knocking off the Alabama Crimson Tide, win their first national championship since way back in 1980, way back when Herschel Walker just bowled all over opposing defenses left and right, and for the Dawgs back in 1980, going into January 1st, 1981, and speaking of the Dawgs, one of their big signees, E.J. Lightsey, is recovering after being shot while working out. So, just to make the long story short, I'm praying for a speedy recovery for E.J. Lightsey, and obviously, I think it just proves that even in the sports world, no one's immune to any adversity or any realities, or the realities of just evil and mayhem. But like the saying goes, that's neither here nor there. And let's talk about what happened with the reclassification. And Thomas County Central tried to stay in Class 4A instead of being moved up to 6A. And the second committee denied the motion 65-1. And then right across town at Thomasville High School, the Bulldogs wanted athletics director Jeremy Rayburn presented an appeal to move down from Class AAA to Class AA, and that motion was denied 64-2, only two no votes. And Thomasville will move up one spot from Class AA to Class AAA, while Thomas County Central wanted to move down from 6A to 4A. Again, as mentioned just a bit earlier, that motion was denied. And, that motion passed 65-1. And also, Pelham tried to move from the new Division 1 to Division 2, Class Single A, and that the motion to deny was passed 61-5. And then Schley County, 2 miles north of Albany, in Ellaville, Georgia, successfully won their appeal to move down from Division 1 to Division 2 Class Single A. And then, looking at the new regions, and this is the final setup for each of the regions here, and this is for the Southwest, only for regions that have at least one team in the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area, and it's more than one, obviously. Starting Region 1, 7A, got in alphabetical order, got Camden County, Cauquid County, Lowndes, Richmond Hill, and Valdosta. And then the ironic thing there is three of the five schools in this new look region, all have the nickname of Wildcats. And then I think for the Valdosta Wildcats, to move up from Class 6A to Class 7A, and that represents a long way to return to the highest classification in the state. And in the other seven regions in Class 7A will all consist of schools in the metro Atlanta area. I mean, that's pretty basically been the case since 7A was formed prior to the 2016-2017 academic year. And ever since 7A was formed, and the road to a state championship there is basically run through Metro Atlanta, and especially around Cobb and Gwinnett counties. You see, like, the Metro Atlanta area continues to grow like there's no tomorrow. And then and Buford also moves up from Class 6A. Buford won back-to-back Class 6A state titles, and sadly, one of those state championship wins came against Lee County. So Buford will, ironically, will join and soon-to-be defending Class 7A champion Collins Hill in Region 8, 6A. I mean, that's not going to be an easy region. I mean, then again, none of these regions are. I mean, in Region 1, it really doesn't matter which four out of these five teams will make the playoffs. I mean, eventually, whoever comes out of Region 1 makes state playoffs, if they're going to win that state championship, I'm going to have to play and beat five teams in the metro Atlanta area, whether it's in Region 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, just to win that state title. You see, you got the Camden County, and then been a fixture in 7A for years, and in the highest classification for years, and then they'll be joined by Richmond Hill, moving up from Class 6A. And then Lowndes and Valdosta. I mean, you know, that's not going to be an easy region. And for Valdosta, I mean, you know, that program's been through so much over these last few years. And then Alan Rodemaker getting fired 2020, and then replace 2020-2021, I mean, and then Rush Poets replacing Rodemaker, and then all the controversy during his tenure, and then Probst getting fired in favor of Shelton Belton, and then being forced to set out the Poets, and then being banned from the playoffs because of all the recruiting violations, which I've talked about the Valdosta's problems in past episodes of the HSFR, and not going to get into that again. I mean, Region 1, 7A, going to be very tough. Camden County, Colquitt County, Lowndes, Richmond Hill, Valdosta, and moving on to Class 6A. In Houston County, Lee County, north side of Warner Robins, Thomas County Central, Tift County, and Veterans will make up that region. And, 6 out of 58 schools, and you see, just those there will be 5 schools out of 46 in Class 4A. They'll be members of Region 1. You got 6 out of 58 schools in Class 6A. And as mentioned earlier, Lee County, and had some tremendous success over the past 5 years, winning 5 straight region championships. I mean, get to the state championship game three times during that span, winning back-to-back titles in 2017 and 18, and coming in within just a few yards of being Buford for a third state title in 2020, and then in 2019-2021, Lee County advanced to the quarterfinals, only to lose to a couple of Gwinnett County schools both times. And then, so whether or not Lee County can maintain that success in 2022, I mean, that remains to be seen, and not going to be in, obviously, you know, that's going to be an intriguing region. And so I mean, in Lee County's biggest and closest rival in Region 1-6A over the past 6 years was Valdosta. And Valdosta, ironically, won the state title in 2016 at the 6A level before Lee County's back-to-back state titles in 2017 and 18. And so, I mean, and then this new alignment for 2022 through 2024. So, Lee County will have Thomas County Central and Tift County instead of Valdosta as their closest rivals in Southwest Georgia. And both of those programs, I mean, it seemed like just when it seemed like both of those programs were on the verge of doing something big, and then it just seems to unravel. And then, and that's what happened to Thomas County Central, especially the last couple of years. And then, it seemed like, especially last season, and Thomas County Central was 5-2 last season, and then Cairo pulled off the upset, came back from a 13-0 deficit, pulled off the upset against the Yellow Jackets. I mean, TCC was ranked 8th in the AJC poll, class 4A at the time, and then they lost to Bainbridge, then to Daugherty, and then got crushed by eventual 4A state champion Benedictine of Savannah. And then see, like, the administration at TCC had finally seen enough and fired Henderson about a week after the season ended, the 2021 season, and then replaced and Henderson was replaced. And Justin Rogers was replaced Henderson as the Yellow Jackets head coach. And then Tift County had a decent first season under first year head coach Noel Dean. It'll be interesting to see how competitive both Thomas County Central and Tift County will be. And 1-6A and Tift County have been a member of the largest classification in the GHSA for over 5.5 decades, dating all the way back to 1966, and when AAA was the highest classification. And that included winning their only state title back in 1983. Under then head coach Gene Brody, and the stadium is named in his honor and memory. And then you got the middle three schools inside from the three schools in Southwest Georgia, South Georgia, and Lee County, Thomas County, Central Tift County. You got the three schools up in the mid state, just south of the Macon Bibb line, Bibb County. You got Houston County, north side of Warner Robins. Veterans in the north side of Warner Robins. And in north side of Warner Robins. And then there's had a solid winning tradition over the years. And seeing the north side of Warner Robins, along with Houston County and Lee County, or the three holdovers from the for the former 14 region, win 6A, which included Valdosta. And then you got veterans down the road in Kathleen, Georgia. And veterans has had its ups and downs. Let's see, veterans has only been around for about a decade or so. And you're a very competitive region, and for sure. And how about some of these other leagues? How about moving on to, since there are no teams, since there are no nearby teams in the Southwest Georgia Network coverage area, that's in Class 5A, we're going to move on to Class 4A. And then, so in the 2020 to 2022 incarnation of Region 1 4A, you had Bainbridge, Cairo, Daugherty, and Monroe of Albany, Thomas County Central, as well as West of Albany. And then from 2022 to 2024, the next couple of years, Region 1 4A will consist of the Bainbridge Bearcats, Cairo Surmakers, and Hardaway and Shaw out of Columbus, as well as the Westover Patriots here in Albany. And then and Bainbridge, you know, has had its share of deep postseason runs over the past several years. Won a state title in 2018 and got to the, and lost in the first round in 2019. Made a semifinal appearance in 2020. Lost to eventual state champion Marist of Atlanta. And then, got to the, and after a little slow start, mainly in the non-region, the Bearcats made another deep postseason run, got to the quarterfinals last season, going to lose to North Oconee, finishing 9-4, and thinking, I'm expecting Bainbridge to be in the conversation yet again this year, same with the Cairo Surmakers, and then got Hardaway and Shaw, both out of Columbus, moving over from the current Region 2 4A, and the Westover Patriots, and their football programs won only 3 games combined, and then and they're entering their second season under head coach Adam Miller. And it'll be interesting to see if the Patriots can get better and win more games in 2022. And how about Class in Region 1 AAA? You got the last year's state runners-up in the Carver Tigers from Columbus, and also the Columbus High School Blue Devils and the other school in the Columbus area that'll join Region 1 AAA. The new, after being moved down from Class 4A, and the Crisp County Cougars from Cordillo and two Albany schools, Daugherty Trojans, Monroe Tornadoes, and got the Thomasville Bulldogs, who the last year's Class AA runners-up, and that's going to be a tough region, Region 1 AAA, and the way it's set up right now, and got the two teams that were state runners-up last year, Carver, Columbus, and Class 4A, and Thomasville AA. Carver, you see Thomasville moving up the AAA, Carver moving down the AAA, and then got the Daugherty Trojans, and more than them, you got a Chris County team that's won region championships 4 out of the last 6 years, and then got the, made a couple of semifinal appearances, and then made several semifinal appearances, and state runners-up in 2019, and so can Chris County continue its success, and then You got the Doherty Trojans. Had their best season in more than 16 years. Won 10-3. Giving Carver, Columbus all it can handle before losing 16-14 in the quarterfinals. And you got Columbus and then Monroe. And Monroe had a rough year. He barely managed to win 3 games last year. And that Region 1 AAA is going to be very tough, I'm thinking. So, seems like, so maybe one. And since only the top 4 teams in each region make the playoffs, so I'm thinking there is obviously a couple of teams aren't going to make it. And you got Region 5 AAA, only 4 schools in that league. You got Carver of Atlanta, the other Carver in Class AAA, and as well as Cedar Grove, Douglas of Atlanta, Sandy Creek, and Cedar Grove. And obviously, it's in the Chris Patty season in more ways than one. See, like Cedar Grove has had Chris Patty's number for who knows, how many times over the past 6 years, leading back to 2016. You just point out that irony there. And also, now we're going to move right along down to Class AA, Region 1 AA, has Berry and Cook, Dodge County, Fitzgerald, Jeff Davis, Sumter County, Worth County. You're seeing Fitzgerald. We'll be the Fitzgerald Purple Hurricanes. They can defend that state title. They'll have 6 other teams besides them. They'll be looking to knock them off. In 2022, and seeing got Cook, and then Vadel. You got Cook from Adel, Georgia, and next door neighbor Berrien in nearby Nashville, Georgia. And then that rivalry will continue to have some added meaning. And then you got Dodge County up in Eastman, Georgia, about an hour or so southeast of Macon, an hour or so southeast of Warner Robins, and then Macon even further up the road to Macon. Macon. You see the Dodge County lost to Fitzgerald twice by the same score. I think it's 15-6 in the regular season meeting. And then, again, by that same score in the first round of the state playoffs. And then now Dodge County and Fitzgerald will be region rivals, at least for 2022 and 2023. And then Jeff Davis out of Hazelhurst, Georgia. And in addition to that school, to Region 1, that comes as a surprise in Sumter County. Panthers, formerly the American Sumter Panthers out of Americus, dropping down from Class AAA to Class AA in Worth County. Rams will stay in Class AA as well. And how about the new look Class Single A instead of private and public schools in Single A for the 2022-23 and 2023-24 school years will be divided into Division 1 and Division 2. You see, Looking at Division One, got Bacon County. Last year's single A public state champion, Brooks County, who dethroned two-time defending back-to-back single A public state champion, Irwin County. And Irwin County will be in that region. Finally, you got the Pelham Hornets. And then there's just four teams there. All four schools will automatically qualify for the playoffs. So, and then so Brooks County, Irwin County, and I mean that's going to be a rough region for sure. And then how about Region One Single A Division Two, and got Bacon there as well as Baker County, I should say, which doesn't have football, and then Calhoun County, Early County, Miller County, Mitchell County, Petola Charter, Quitman County, Randolph Clay, Seminole County, Southwest Georgia STEM, Stewart County, and Terrell County. And now those 13 schools that make up the region, only Baker County, Quitman County, and Southwest Georgia STEM don't have a football program. Southwest Georgia STEM is located in Shelby, Georgia. And for those people, that don't know what STEM is, that's STEM, STEM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. So that's going to be a specialized charter school for students that want to graduate from high school and college and then move on to careers in the STEM fields. And then thinking as far as the athletic side of the equation, I mean, you got the 10 football playing schools, and then I think three of them, there's probably going to be a handful of those schools. So likely B will play a full region schedule, like an Early County, dropping down from Class AA, Miller County, Mitchell County, Randolph Clay, Seminole County, Stewart County, Terrell County. And, you're still, less than 6 months away from the start of the regular season. So a lot, things to just, a lot of things just to decipher going forward in that region, Region 1 CLA Division 2, thinking, no matter who's in that region, it's not going to be easy. And then, bottom line is, four teams are going to make the playoffs. Four teams per region will advance to the state playoffs. That's pretty much the thing. And then, it'll rain that way for the foreseeable future. And how about the all new Region 2 Single A Division 2, which unlike Region 1 will have just 6 teams in Atkinson County, Charlton County, Clinch County, Eccles County, Lanier County, and Turner County, all in that south central, southeast Georgia portion of the state, and the lower south central, in the southeast portion of the state, one of the biggest beneficiaries of the realignment has to be all those 6 of those schools. I think in the only exception and the only school in the new 2 Single A Division 2 would be Eccles County, and the other schools, Atkinson, Charlton, Clinch, Lanier, and Turner, will play football in that New Look League, and Turner County has to be one of the biggest beneficiaries, especially considering, and Lanier County as well. I mean, considering you don't have to play either Brooks County or Irwin County, at least as far as region play is concerned. So, and last but certainly not least, and I'm going to talk about a few coaching changes. Talk about some of the coaching changes in the Georgia High School Association among schools in our area. And before we even do that, and Deerfield Windsor, from Albany, dropping down from leaving the GHSA, going to GISA, and then because of some issues they've had with the GHSA during their 2 years there. And then, and then you got these coaching hires recent. Let's see, and you have, let's see, and just going to quickly go through some of those. And start with, go through some of these coaching changes. Obviously, and start with the Colquitt County Packers, Justin Rogers. And leaving the Packers program after 3 seasons in Moultrie, and replaced by Sean Calhoun, former assistant under Rush Probst, and it'll be interesting to see how that Packers program moves forward. And Jamie and the other Rogers, Jamie Rogers, it's Rogers with a D. And then there's Justin Rogers without the D. And Jamie Rogers left Cook. He's now at Cook after just after several years, replaced by Byron Slack. And Slack, can Slack pick up the slack where Jamie Rogers left off? And then also, you have, there's in Sumter County, and then, Clifford Fed replaces Rush Couch, and then, and Fed comes to South Georgia, or to America's from, Dutchtown, way up the road in Hampton, Georgia, in Henry County, and south of Atlanta, and Sumter County's won only 2 games total over the past 2 years. And then, mentioned earlier, in Thomas County Central hired Justin Rogers to replace the fired Ashley Henderson, and Kevius Johnson left Turner County, and after leading the Titans to a 6-7 season, which included a 2-1 mark and a quarterfinal appearance in the playoffs in the Singly Public. And finally, you have Phillip Ironside leaving after 2 years as the Worth County Rams head coach. And Ironside was 4-6 the past 2 years, won 8 games total. So it'll be interesting to see who, who Worth County will bring in to replace Ironside, and whoever replaces Ironside will have the work out for him, replacing trying to compete in what's going to be a tough Region 1 AA. So on that note, that's going to end this episode of the High School Football Roundup podcast. And for February 2022. And then remember to follow the Southwest Georgia Network online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. That's SWGA Network, Southwest Georgia Network, on Twitter at SWGA Network. I'm Walter Johnson, and I'm hoping your 2022 has gone well so far, and hope things continue to go well going forward. Thank you for listening. And as always, thank you. Stay safe. God bless you and goodbye.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Southwest Georgia Network. The Southwest Georgia Network is online at southwestgeorgianetwork.com and on Twitter at SWGA Network. Thanks for listening.